Turn to Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah chapter 61. The Lord's given us a lot to sing about. Isaiah chapter 61, and verse number 1 through 4. I'll read verse number 1, and then you read verse number 2 with me, and we'll read responsively just these few verses here. Isaiah 61 and verse number 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them the beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall build the old wastes, they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. And let's pray together. Father, thank you that you care about our hurts. You're such a wonderful, personal God. You showed us that when you died for us. Now please, this morning, I ask that you would help us as we preach. Please speak to our hearts, strengthen us as your children. And Lord, I just pray that please, you'd help us to draw close to you, please, as your child. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Need to do something here. How many are too hot? Okay, all right, just a few. All right, we'll leave it as is. I'm smoking, and that's against church policy. When Jesus used this text in his first sermon, in Luke chapter 4, verse number 20, he read this scripture. He says, and then he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he, Jesus, began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. I think one of the most helpful things to learn is that Jesus came to bind the brokenhearted. And he came to help us when we hurt. One of the worst things that can happen to anyone is when your spirit breaks, not your heart breaks. This morning I'm going to divide two words I want you to think about, and then we'll get into how to fix it. But there's a broken heart, and then there's a broken spirit. In Proverbs 18:13, the Bible says, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? The water in the sea doesn't... Mother Garland, whatever I'm paying you, just double it, okay? Thank you very much. I mean it. Just give yourself a Christmas bonus while you're at it, too, okay? I mean, I know it's not till next year, but just do it, okay? The spirit of man will sustain his infirmity. Now, this is Proverbs 18:14, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? Just let me give you this illustration. The water that's in the ocean doesn't hurt the ship until it gets into the ship. As we sail through a life of troubles, we can take it as long as we don't start leaking, and the ship then starts to sink. When trouble and tragedy get into our heart, it seems like every problem is magnified. The ordinary trials of life seem to take us to the breaking point. Proverbs 15:13 says this. As a matter of fact, would you take your Bible and go to Proverbs? I know we're in Isaiah, but would you go to Proverbs 15, verse 13? Would you look at this real close for just a second? And then I'm going to, I want to help us this morning. Proverbs 15, verse 13. Proverbs 15:13, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. But by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. In other words, so, as a pastor, I watch people as they come to church, and God says, a merry heart makes a countenance, your face, cheery. And if somebody comes to church crying or hurting, or they have that look, that means something's. I always think this. I never think what sin is in their life. I always think this. What's hurting them so bad today that they can't smile? Because a merry heart makes your countenance cheery. It's a heart condition. Here God says, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. In this verse, there's two things that are broken. The sorrow of the heart, a broken heart, and the spirit that is broken. A broken heart is not sin. Listen closely. But a broken spirit is sin. You say, are you sure, preacher? Just listen to these verses. You went to Proverbs. Okay, turn over two chapters to 17:22. A merry heart doeth good, like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones, or kills the bones. Now, I'm going to read you a verse. God says in Psalm 51, verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Let me say it again. A broken heart, to have a broken heart is not a sin. To have a broken spirit, if you don't regulate the broken heart, it can lead to a wounded or a broken spirit. And when you get to this point here, a broken spirit, that is sinful. That is sin. You say, we are not only supposed to have a right spirit, but we're also supposed to glorify God with our spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, what know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you're not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So God says, we're to have a right spirit. We're to glorify God with our spirit. God is close to those. Now, this morning, God is close to us every time we get a broken heart and have a burden. Psalm 34:18 says, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. If you do have a broken heart, you are the object of God's special care and love. And when you're going through the trial that broke your heart, can I just encourage you this morning? Psalm 34:18 says, when you're hurting and your heart is broken, God makes His presence extra known to you. Don't miss Him. You say, but this is killing me, preacher. This is the pain is unbelievable. I know, but during that heartache, He's extra close. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. Don't miss Him in the pain. Don't miss Him in the pain. Every time my heart breaks, I always think, Jesus, You said You'd make Your presence extra known to me. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. God will not despise or get angry with those with a broken heart. Psalm 51:17. Just listen. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, Thou wilt not despise. Here, now let me go back to our text in Isaiah. When Jesus preached the first sermon, in Luke chapter 4, His first, He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He hath anointed me to heal the brokenhearted. This morning, there are people here with broken hearts. There's people here whose children have broken their heart. There's children in our church and their heart is broken. There's people whose hearts are broken because of a serious illness or a trial that they've just been through. And there's many other people with broken hearts. According to Proverbs 15:13, the danger of a broken heart is that if you don't let the Lord help you with it, it can lead to a broken spirit, which is a sinful condition. I will tell you the difference between the two here in just a second. You see, a broken-hearted person can keep on going, but a broken-spirited person cannot keep going. unless they get right with God. You say, are you sure? Proverbs 18:14 says, the spirit of man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? God says this, it's your spirit or your attitude or your link with the Lord that keeps you going. It sustains you in the infirmity or in the pain. God says it's your spirit that keeps you going. But when your spirit breaks, you want to quit. And when you want to quit everything, that's not good. That's not a good spiritual state to be in. You see, a person with a broken spirit feels he cannot keep going, while a person with a broken heart knows that the times are, even though the times are hard, he can still make it. You see, a person with a broken spirit says there's no way. A broken heart says he does not know the way, but he knows that there is one. You see, a broken spirit sees her husband gone and feels she cannot go on. A broken heart loses her husband, but she keeps on going. A broken spirit says, I can't, so I won't. A broken heart says, I can't, but I will. But I will. A broken spirit says, I can't do it. But a broken heart says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. A broken spirit says, there's no way to win. A broken heart says, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. A broken spirit says, I'm a failure. While a broken heart says, I have failed, but I'll try again. That's the difference between a broken spirit and a broken heart. You see, a person with a healthy spirit will not be stopped by sickness. A person with a healthy spirit will not stop when they're criticized or when people gossip about them. A person with a healthy spirit will not stop when they're wounded, hurt, crushed, or they feel forsaken. On the other hand, a person with a broken spirit has nothing to keep him going. He needs a healthy spirit to help him get back up, to help him find the way and to keep him going. You cannot avoid a broken heart, but you can avoid a broken spirit. Listen closely. A broken spirit is a sin, just like drinking liquor is a sin. A broken spirit is a sin, just like cursing is a sin. A broken spirit is a sin, just like smoking, committing adultery, being a homosexual, committing idolatry, looking at pornography, being a vile person, being a Democrat. Okay, I'm glad you're listening, all right? I'm trying to tell you this morning, it's a sin. It's a sin. With a broken heart, Job passed by the caskets of his 10 children. With a broken heart, he watched his wealth obliterated in a matter of moments. With a broken heart, Job suffered a serious illness. Then his wife urged him to curse God and die. His friends turned on him, but his spirit was not broken, only his heart. Because Job's heart was broken, but his spirit was okay, in Job 13:15, God could use him to record, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. That keeps a man going. His spirit was not broken. That's how come he could say, God, if you choose to kill me, I still trust you. What a verse. What a verse. You see, a broken-hearted Jeremiah became discouraged. He quit the ministry. He bought some ground and built a cottage. However, he kept reading the Bible and his spirit regained its strength. His spirit began to burn in his bones like a fire, and Jeremiah realized that he could not quit and he started serving God again. A broken-hearted Ezekiel watched his baby die. Then he went home and found his beautiful wife dead. His heart was broken, but not his spirit. Thus, he was able to get up the next day and preach. With a broken heart, King David realized he had sinned. He asked God to mend his spirit, and he continued serving God. Jonah's heart was broken, but his spirit wasn't broken. After he disobeyed God, he was able to get back on his feet, go to Nineveh, then he preached the greatest revival in the history of mankind. A broken-hearted Peter, after denying the Lord, repented And because his spirit wasn't broken, he was able to preach on the day of Pentecost and 3,000 people got saved and baptized. A broken-hearted Samson, betrayed by Delilah, killed more men in his death than he had killed during his lifetime. He was used of God because his spirit wasn't broken. Adoniram Judson, broken-hearted over the loss of his wife and children in Burma, he kept on going and winning souls because with a broken heart, his spirit didn't break. My heart has been broken many times, and I've often felt like quitting, but my spirit sustained my infirmity. My spirit has not been broken. I kept going. Your spirit communicates with God. The more you communicate with God, the healthier your spirit is. You cannot expect to have a healthy spirit if you ignore your Bible and neglect your prayer time. Very important for a Christian. You've got to have your walk with God. Jesus said this, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." If you have a King James Bible, they are spirit. This is what they are, breath. They are. They help me sustain life. When I read my Bible, I'm inhaling. And when I go to a lost and dying world, I'm exhaling. Say, now I need more air. Where do I get it? I get the words that I speak unto you. They are spirit and they are life. How can you keep your spirit healthy this morning? Number one, talk with God more than man. God says in John chapter 4, God is a spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Do you rise early to talk to God? Do you tell Him that you love Him? Have you spent time in His Word? Maybe you think you have too much to do to talk with God, but I'll just tell you this morning, you had better make time to talk with Him and walk with Him. You have to as a child of God. You say, how do you keep your spirit healthy? I said, talk with God more than man. Number two, avoid negative and critical people. I'll just tell you, Proverbs 24, verse 9, the thoughts of foolishness is sin, and the scorner or the critic is an abomination to men. Proverbs 22, 10 says, cast out the scorner and contention shall go out, yea, strife and reproach shall cease. A critical person will vex your spirit. Vexed Lot's. He vexed his soul. By seeing and hearing, you can't hear somebody. Every once in a while, you get around somebody, and I mean, they're just, I don't like this, and I can't stand this, and I just don't like this, and boy, I just hate life. And literally, after about 15 minutes of that, you leave their presence, and you just want to spit. I mean, it's just like, bleh. Somebody didn't teach them how to be an encouragement to people when they're around them. How to be an encouragement. Protect your spirit. Avoid negative and critical people. If somebody makes you feel dirty, then stop hanging around them. When someone tries to tell you that they don't like something at the church, walk away from them. If someone gets angry with you and mistreats you, let God take care of it. Don't let it mess your spirit up. How about this? How do you protect your spirit and keep it from getting broken? Run with spiritual people. Proverbs 13:20 is an amazing verse. Matter of fact, I think you're there in Proverbs. Go to 13:20. If this isn't underlined in your Bible, it ought to be. Look at Proverbs 13:20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. The last part of it is sobering. Proverbs 13:20. But a companion of fools shall be destroyed. You can't hang around the wrong crowd and it not affect you. God says you hang around the wrong crowd too much, it'll destroy you. And it doesn't matter. That's talking to a saved person. You can't listen to people cuss God. You can't listen to people degrade who Jesus is and what He tells us to do. You can't listen to that constant and it not affect you. And God says a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Be careful who you hang around. Be careful if you need to protect your spirit as a child of God. Everyone is going to have a broken heart at some point in their life, but it is not required that you have a broken spirit. Can I just tell you this morning, you need to keep your spirit healthy. Your family needs you. Your husband needs you. Your wife needs you. Your children need you. To fix a broken spirit, how do you do it? You say, my spirit's broken. Then you confess it as sin. You don't sugarcoat it. You don't call it something that it's not. You don't pretend it's not there. You accept it. If you have a broken spirit this morning, if God's touching your heart about it, then you confess it as sin. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I don't know if your spirit's broken or not this morning. If it is, confess it as sin. Next, if you want your broken heart this morning, now I've talked to you about a broken spirit, now let me talk to you about your broken heart. Please know this. I love this. We read in Isaiah 61. We read in Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Jesus said, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek, He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. I'm so glad that Jesus came to bind our broken hearts. You say He came to save sinners. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He did come to save sinners, but He also came to bind every broken heart. He said, the Lord God is upon me. So to do what? To help those that are hurting. To help those that are hurting. And only Jesus can do that. You see, anyone will laugh and party with you, but when it's time to cry, no one is willing to join you. They're just like the birds that are with you in the summer, but can never be found in the winter. They're like the leaves that are seen all through the summer, but they fade as the winter approaches. Though everyone forsakes and forgets you, can I just tell you this morning, the Lord does not. The Lord does not. If you think your problem is so big that no one can help you, may I just remind you this morning, Jeremiah 32:17 said, Ah, Lord God, behold, Thou hast made the heaven and the earth by Thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for Thee. In Jeremiah 32, when you go down to verse 27, God says, Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Can I tell you this morning, if your heart's breaking because of the problem you're going through, God's bigger than your problem. There's nothing too hard for Him. You say, but this is huge and this is happening and I can't handle this. God's bigger. There's nothing too hard for God. God can always help you. It's not impossible to the Lord. It isn't even difficult for the Lord. You have a true friend in the Lord Jesus Christ who's able and willing to help you. There is hope. The Lord is for you. He's not trying to destroy you this morning. Aren't you glad? If the Lord meant to destroy you, then why did He send His Son to die for you? He's not. He's not trying to hurt you. The Lord is for you this morning. If you are brokenhearted, no one can help you like Jesus, because He was acquainted with our grief and known as the man of sorrows. We read in Isaiah 61, I'll just tell you about, just listen closely, Isaiah 53 says, He is despised and rejected of men. That was Jesus. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from Him. He was despised and we esteemed Him not. Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. I don't think Jesus was a depressing person to be around. I don't think He was unhappy, but it says He knew how to care and take someone's burden and bear it and help them. I think that's why He was a man of sorrow. I don't think He was depressed at all. I think He was someone, the moment you, if Jesus was here in person, I think the moment you met Him and you looked into His eyes, you knew He cared. And you knew He was there to help you. I can't wait to see Him one day face to face. Jesus Christ knows every trouble you're facing right now. He knew every temptation and every sorrow. He knows of your broken heart this morning because our Savior died of a broken heart. When the spear pierced His side and out came the water and the blood. Every doctor says when the plasma separates and the white content that they would call water came out his side, they said it was due to the pressure, it was due to the breaking of his heart. He died for us. Who else could understand you this morning than He who bore our sorrows and died for our sins of a broken heart? Psalm 69, verse 20 says, Jesus is talking about Himself, "Reproach hath broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness." That's a prophecy about the Lord Jesus. Listen closely, the brokenhearted Savior is the healer of brokenhearted sinners. Jesus tells us three times, "Be of good cheer," in the Gospels. Jesus said six times, "Be of good comfort." Be of good comfort. Those are our Savior's words to us. Our Savior has bound up millions of broken hearts. He knows just how to bind yours up. When Jesus comforts you, He never gets discouraged or irritated. He's so gentle and patient as He first drives the sin from you and then He takes your sorrow. Jesus never gets you feeling good about your sin. But if you're willing to call it what it is, and if you're willing to come to Him, your King, He is then willing to help you. Amen? The Lord Jesus won't scold you because of how your heart got broken. He'll never say to you, "That was stupid. Well, you deserve the pain you're going through." He never says that. When you're willing to own it, He says, "I can help you. I can heal. I can heal." Many people can gripe and complain about you falling into the pit, but they cannot help you get out of the pit. We're so weak and feeble that the Lord Jesus has not just brought us the ointment and the bandages, but He's come to bind up the brokenhearted. You ever watch somebody with a broken arm? They can't bind their own arm. They've only got one hand. Tying it. Jesus didn't say, "Here, fix it. That ointment's good for it, and those are the best bandages money can buy." He came to bring us what will help us and to bind us up and to take care of us. Psalm 147, verse 2 says, "The Lord doth build up Jerusalem." I love this. "He gathered together the outcasts of Israel." He gathers the outcasts, those that people don't want. "He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. He telleth the number of the stars." God can control the stars, gather the outcasts, and God also bends down over broken hearts and closes up our wounds. All of this happens as the Spirit of God applies the Word of God to our hearts. Only Jesus can bind up our wounds and make it so that the more trouble there was before, the more joy there is afterwards. Every time I go through a valley, God doesn't work on credit. God doesn't say you get a mountaintop experience now and you can pay for it with a deep valley later. God doesn't work on credit. Every time I go through a valley, I always think, "Wow, Lord, I can't wait to see the mountaintop that's coming after this valley because this one's deep." This one's deep. And so when I go through the troubles and the struggles and the heartache, I'm looking for a mountaintop. I don't know when it's coming, but I know it's on its way. If you're here this morning and you have a broken heart, can I just remind you, God doesn't work on credit. There's a mountaintop coming. There's a mountaintop coming. This morning, I can't make an excuse for you, and you can't excuse yourself, but when the Lord must chastise and direct us, He also binds us. Psalm 51, verse 12 says, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee." When we come to Him with repentance, He assures us that He loves us still with His everlasting love. When we neglect Him in eternal things and care more about physical things than we do spiritual things because we're backslidden and we don't even realize how miserable we are, when the Holy Spirit convicts us of our sinful state, then our heart breaks. Then the Lord Jesus we are reminded, has been sent to bind up our broken heart. When our heart is broken because of troubles and trials and unexpected financial losses, don't despair, because Jesus Christ still lives to bind up the brokenhearted. When we're rich and we live for this world, but when we're reminded that money can make itself wings and fly away, and we're able to finally look to the Lord Jesus Christ, we find in Him our untold riches that are ours forever when you trust Him as your Savior. When our heart is broken through the loss of loved ones, when a husband loses his wife, when a wife loses her husband, when a mother loses her child, when they say, "My heart is broken so badly, I don't know if I'll ever be able to rejoice again," the Lord Jesus can heal broken hearts just like yours. He wept at the grave of Lazarus, and He comforted the family. This morning, you could let Jesus teach you to focus your love on Him. Let our Savior this morning teach you that He is all you need. If you have a broken heart, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted." There's a difference between a broken heart and a broken spirit. A broken spirit is sin. It is fixed when you confess it as sin. A broken heart is something different. A broken heart is what Jesus came to bind and to heal. This morning, if you're lost, then the broken heart you have because of the sense of your sinfulness, can I just tell you that Jesus Christ knows how to pardon your sin? He knows how to take it away. Isaiah 1:18 says, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Acts 16:31, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." What a verse. Jesus came to bind up broken hearts. Let's pray. Father, please, I ask that...